I know it's your first feature, but I was really struck by its sort of Monsieur Truffaut sort of quality to it. You know the French film Monsieur Hulot's Adventures. Have
Oh
you?
yes, Tati. Yeah. No, definitely. There was a sort of a clownish element to the main character that I wanted him to have without it always being totally on the surface. It kind of just, yeah. Mr. Bean was another one that we were talking about on set, or at least the actor playing Ray, non-actor I should say, but the person playing Ray was, yeah, often felt he was inhabiting a kind of Mr. Bean like figure. Yeah, no, it was definitely something that we wanted comedy to come through, often at these points of crossroads of sorts in the film where a wall's been hit or something, and it's all very much told in a miniature form. The problems are all very small scale, but when he comes up against some obstacle, often, yeah, he'll do something quite silly, and as a way of, yeah, not exactly resolving the situation, often just like deepening the mystery about what he's even trying to achieve. But yeah, it was something that clowning aspect was something we did talk about a bit.
Yeah, well, it's an unusual format to take. I mean, it's not about, there are dramas and comedy involved in this film, but it's not your usual narrative arc, is it? You were actually searching for something else.
Yeah, it's true. And it's not that the film, as you say, doesn't have things happening in a traditional sort of plot sense, but they are a little bit sideways and maybe not configured in the way that they normally would be, with the build, steady build towards a climax, or problems that are building towards some kind of resolution. The film snakes along, and I guess that was, for me, just a reflection of the kinds of things, the kinds of films, but yeah, whether it's books or things beyond film too, just I like that quality where you're never quite sure where it's going, and you know that the person who's made it is aware of some, narrative formulas and conventions, but they're dipping in and out of them. And it was just something in the writing that I wanted this film to have, and knowing too that that would probably alienate and frustrate people looking for something a little more traditionally character driven and story driven. But yeah, fortunately, one aspect of funding something yourself is that you can just pursue your own interests in a way, even if it is something that would have made it hard to get funded, or might make it hard to find an audience too.
So I guess that you're making reflections about internal and external time and space. That's what you're doing, right?
Yeah, that was definitely part of it. Feeling like it was a film that was taking a lot from real life and some of the repetitiveness of real life, without even necessarily making a comment on things being good or bad, but just wanting to make a film that did capture something of the sense of actually being in the world where, long periods of time pass where not much happens, or you have a full day but you don't feel like you've achieved anything, or yeah, you have a series of kind of misfortunate, a day of bad luck, but none of it's too particularly catastrophic, but it just feels important to you at that time. So I wanted the film to be full of these little digressions and oddities and things that I suppose aren't particularly exceptional, but or profound on the surface, but do make up so much of how life is actually lived.
I'll tell you, I loved the cinematography and the clarity of the shots that you took. I love that sort of stuff. Tell me about the shooting.
Yeah, so the cinematographer, his name is Dimitri Zaunders, and he was one of the first people involved in the project. And I knew with a film that was low budget and self-funded that having someone in that was just going to be a really important person, whoever was in that job. So I was quite careful about, yeah, thinking about who I was going to ask to be involved, and was hoping the right person would come along at the right time. And fortunately, they did, because Dimitri, yeah, I just was amazed at how well we clicked from early on, and his willingness to, I guess, commit just 100% to the project. We just did so much work together in pre-production, but even before pre-production, visiting campsites and, you know, places all over New South Wales, doing a lot of driving together, looking for the locations that would work for, I guess, what I had in mind, but also met Dimitri's needs, which were quite particular. He really wanted the whole film to be backlit. And I think part of what makes it so vivid, even though a lot of the shots, you know, it's just a camera on tripod, not moving, you know, that can be dull as well. But I think Dimitri was really excited about that challenge, and having everything backlit gives it a kind of a volume that, you know, it's a technical side of filmmaking that I don't fully understand, and I learned a bit more from working with him. But he was very, that was sort of a non-negotiable thing for him. So yeah, there was a lot of work, not just in choosing locations, but in working out the schedule, you know, the shooting schedule, because he had to, you know, if he wanted something backlit and we knew the characters were going to be standing in a certain spot and the camera faced them in a certain spot, then it meant that shot he, you know, needed to do from 9 to 10 a.m. or 4 to 5 p.m. And we didn't have a huge amount of flexibility on the day to change that. So the planning, I think, you know, that was more work, but it saved us a lot of headaches too. It just meant we were more prepared going into the shoot and knew what we were up against.
Well, it's really beautiful. It really comes out in the wash. It's just fantastic. In fact, I really want to talk about the interior of the house, which is just gobsmacking.
Yeah.
The art is just fantastic.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing. And we just got really lucky with that house, because I visited that house. I used to work at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney, and someone I worked with there was friends with an artist who, the owner of that house had recently bought their work, and they're having a bit of a thing and like a bit of an event at the house. And I felt like it was mildly inappropriate that I was there. I didn't really know anyone, but I just ended up there one night, and the house just, yeah, as it would, being someone who's never been to a place like that, it was pretty hard to forget. And I just, yeah, it kind of inspired the writing of that part of the film. And I didn't realize how attached I was to that house in particular until we started looking at other houses, and it was, you know, everything was wrong about them. And it's like, no, it needs this, it needs that. And I realized I was just over and over explaining the particular layout of this house, which I already knew about, but was not confident that the owner would say yes. But when I finally got onto her, and that was a bit hard, but when I did, she said yes straight away, and she was so supportive.
It's so lurid. Yeah, it's like a sort of an orchid, you know, or
yeah,
it's just so amazing.
Yeah, and the art too on the walls is so amazing, and
it's
that
the
was
art.
All like part of her personal collection. Yeah, yeah.
I can't even imagine living in that room.
I know. Yeah, it'd be hard to relax sometimes, you know, some of the speakers leaning over you. But yeah,
people have to go and see your film just to see that room. But also the guy that you got, the older guy, he's such a great actor, and the dialogue is so hilarious. I just found it so funny.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I think Greg Zimbalis, who plays that part, he hasn't really done much acting, and he was in my short film that I did in 2013, and my younger brother, his best friend in primary school, Greg was his dad, and Mum had said to me, oh, you know, Greg, you've met Greg before, he's really keen, he's heard you studying film, and he's really keen to give acting a go, and so when you're doing your final project at uni, you know, he really wants to, you know, just keep him in mind. And I was a bit like, oh God, it's going to be just one of those awkward things that's not good, doesn't work out well for anyone. But so I was quite hesitant about even meeting up with him. But yeah, he was just incredible. In I found him so good in that short we did together. And then he was another person who I didn't realize how much I was writing that part for him until we got to casting. And it's like, I don't even know why I bothered doing auditions for anyone else, you know, because it was always going to be him. And he's so talented with, I suppose, making lines that are written sound like they're just whatever's blurting out of his mouth at that point. You know, it does sound so he's so present, which is just all the more amazing considering he's not, a trained actor, and he's done those two things with me and one or two other things. But I'm, Yeah, I agree. You know, people in Australia and overseas that are always talking about Greg, and I hope he does get more opportunities because he is so amazing.
Yeah, I know,
He's
but
just
it
so
was,
funny.
so I mean, did it all come out in the edit? Because it, to me, it's a bit like poetry in a way, because it's like sitting beside a river and picking up really great rocks and feeling them and really appreciating them. That's what your film's like.
Oh, that's an amazing, yeah, that's an amazing, beautiful compliment. That's lovely to hear, because I had never thought of it in that way, but there is some, yeah, that resonates with me, I suppose, in the editing process and in the writing process too. There were scenes and I guess movements of between, you know, between characters and situations, and there was a lot of just picking things up and seeing how they felt and seeing how they cooperated with other things and putting them back down if they didn't work. And so yeah, that was something that went through from not so much on the in the shooting, because you've got to have a plan and just stick to it there, but in the writing and editing, definitely there was, and the structure of the film did leave us some flexibility with being able to, yeah, just see what was feeling good, I suppose, rather than having to stick to a start, middle, end type of thing.
Yeah, very interesting. In fact, it leads me to wonder what you're going to do next, because you're a particular type of filmmaker.
It's a good question. It's been a long, long road with this film. I think I started the writing in 2015, and yeah, then you know, all kinds of COVID delays and things, and the film is coming out this weekend, so it's had a the last year some festival, you know, some great festival appearances and a few festivals in Australia too, but this is definitely the final, I guess, punctuating moment of the whole thing for me. So I do feel from now on a bit more, my brain is a bit lighter or something for thinking about the new thing. But I have started a script that actually begins, I'm hoping that it will begin with a big part of the film that I wrote and we actually shot but then removed from Friends and Strangers. Just it just wasn't fitting with it with the rest of it, and it took us a long time to figure that out. We were moving in different places and thinking it was placement that was the issue. But when it finally got taken out, the whole film just worked better. But I did love it. And I would like the next project to start with that sketch. And it was about 20, 25 minutes and then continue on. It was more outwardly surreal and dreamlike, set in a national park with some of the smaller characters from Friends and Strangers in a more, yeah, more absurd, dreamlike kind of setup that just gets more and more odd and nightmarish as it goes on. And I'm interested in this one having a little bit more, yeah, maybe more of a direct commentary on some of our contemporary political environment and climate too. So having a, yeah, parliamentary aspect to it, that is something that, yeah, I'm excited to see where that goes as well.
Which actually leads me to remember the young girl was very good in your film.
Yeah, she's another one who hadn't done much work like that before. I think she'd done been in a school play or something, but she's just incredible, and things like that you just as a filmmaker can't take any credit for, because we did a casting call out on the Caravan Parks Facebook page. They did it on our behalf, and we had about 12 people turn up, and she just was one of them. And just, you know, there was never any directing really. Had to, she just intuitively got it, and yeah, brings this quiet intensity that, yeah, I'm always, every time I watch the film, always marveling at Poppy Jones's performance. I hope she's another one who I hope, if she wants to, gets lots more acting opportunities.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting film. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I found the second half in particular hilarious.
Thank you, Annie. Yeah.
Just fantastic. Right up my street. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Annie.
Yeah, thanks for talking to me.